It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Go. We are off and running on this, the 27th day of March, 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live most of the time when the site isn't hacked into a million tiny pieces. And when it is, well, that leaves us with, mercifully and thankfully, HeadOn.live, 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 courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa. It has all the functionality of HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. To meet your basic streaming needs. The stream's there, the chat room's there, everything is right there. So go there. If you've never done it before, pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump into the chat room, where you will be immediately greeted by Hoghead and VP Blom, alongside longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has in fact this day folded space to become Man Cave. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and it is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. Yeah, I got up early this morning and realized that, well, poor old Jack wasn't. You know, there was room enough for Jack on that door, but Rose wasn't going to save him. And I realized this morning that Jack was probably going to be submerged again on a day like this. We're up and running, and the audio is hot at the White Rose Society stream, at the HeadOn.live stream. That means we're live on Roku and Stitcher and TuneIn and just all over creation. This is not a program that is difficult to find. It's just difficult to, well, the challenge is in letting people know that it exists. And when they find out it exists, they largely come and stick around and enjoy the conversation. Because that's what it is, conversation radio. And it is non-commercial conversation radio. You will not hear an ad imploring you to buy gold now, or for that matter, buy Beats now. You know, there's never been a better time to buy Beats. Beats is your best hedge. No. And we're not talking about the cool headphones. We're talking about the vegetable, the root crop, you know, Beats. No, you're not going to hear that here. This is listener-supported radio, and we are in the middle of a week of fundraising free broadcasting, thanks to the subscribers who, over at Patreon and PayPal, managed to knock down every month about a week's worth of funding for the program. So thanks go out particularly this evening to partial sponsors of the program, Susan in Massachusetts and Robert in Australia. Thank you, Susan, and thank you, Robert, for being our 27th day of the month subscribers. Thank you very kindly indeed. And so, I mean, that's pretty, there won't be any more fundraising tonight. Now, Huh? No, 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 Jim. HeadOn.live is not suspended. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is suspended. Because it was hacked. Thank you very kindly to Steve in New York, letting me know loud and clear on TuneIn, Lakoti, L-A-C-O-T-I. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very kindly. Remember, every member of the fraternity of Steve is entitled to claim the work of any other Steve as being their own, because it is an all-for-one and one-for-all fraternity, the fraternity of Steve. Like I said, I knew it was going to be an interesting day. Just from the very beginnings of the day. You might recall that in last night's program, or yesterday evening's program, or earlier today's program, depending on when you listen to it, I tend to refer to it as in real time, because that's when I do it. It's, for instance, 6:06 p.m. Central Daylight, Central, Jesus God, there's a little wishful thinking. 6:06 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time as of this moment, so I consider this to be an evening broadcast. Still plenty of daylight in the sky. It's been kind of a gray day here in almost level Appalachistan. But it's comfortable in the studio. It's a nice 64 degrees, about a foot and a half down from the ceiling, which means that it's probably even more cool and more comfortable down here where I am. I think it's about an 8-foot ceiling in here. Yeah. So it's pleasant. And by Thursday, it's supposed to be gray with a chance of rain and 71. Remember, the month of March will, the month of March 2018 will pass from memory on Saturday, and then of course Sunday is Easter, and in a moment of sublime calendrical irony, Easter this year falls on April Fool's Day, and it probably should fall on April. We should probably move April Fool's Day, so that every Easter is April Fool's Day. Just because it's, it makes sense. A long, long time ago, the poet Robert Frost, in his shortest poem, two lines, maybe four, I can't remember how it was laid out, but it was called Forgive, O Lord. And Robert Frost said, "Forgive, O Lord, my little jokes on thee, and I'll forgive thy great big one on me." And I'll leave it to the community to decide what it was he was talking about, but just the same. Yeah, Easter for April Fool's Day. Yeah, Jesus comes out of the tomb, he's walking along. The disciples go, "Lord, is that you?" And Jesus says, "April Fools." No, guess not. But I mention all of that because the first week of April, this is just a program note going forward. The first week of April, or at least the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday part of the first week of April, I will be subbing for Mike Malloy as he and Kathy and Molly take a little spring break time off. Yay them. Hope they go somewhere very enjoyable and maybe, listen to some waves crashing on the sand or something. I don't know. Or maybe just gently lapping at the sand. The nature of this business, just get away for a little bit and clear your heads and come back and, coffee breaks over back on your heads. But as a consequence of that, Monday through Thursday of next week will all be two-hour programs here for this program. because it takes about an hour to turn everything around and set everything back up to send the program up to Progressive Voices. You know, like that. And I was gonna, I don't know if they'd be interested in doing this. But I actually thought about seeing if Mike and Kathy would be into this, because I know they've got a lot of people who participate in the program via the video stream. And I certainly don't have a fabulous and beautiful video studio here, but I was thinking about maybe for that week, trying to, just as an experiment, do a little video. No, damn it. Jeremy, you and Jim, quit colluding, okay? I mean, within 10 seconds of each other, I get an email, one from Jeremy saying, wait one minute, I thought we'd all agreed to change the program name to Raw Dogging with Bob Kincaid. We had not, and stop that. Stop saying that. Meanwhile, and then 10 seconds later, Jim says, okay, Raw Dog, don't use that tone with me. Colluding. I hate it when that happens. Ah, that's true. VT Blom reminding me in the chat room, Bob Kincaid, don't forget the best ritual of spring, the Masters, starts next week. Oh, that will be lovely. The Amen Corner, watching the greatest golfers on earth play like mere duffing mortals. No, not Raw Dog. No, not Rod Hog. Raw Dog, Clarity. Clarity getting in on the act. You people. So anyway, let me know your thoughts. Want me to try to fire up some video for it, or is it just too much? Or let me know. Well, who's to say I wouldn't maybe not smoke during the program? Man cave, huh? What do you think of that? So we'll find out. I'll write and ask and see what's. But anyway, so that's a program note for next week. Then the following week, I will be gone. The following week, the second week of April, I will be off to Washington, D.C. We've got work to do there in regard to the ongoing struggle for human rights and human dignity in the sacrifice zone of Appalachia. So, you know, I don't know if anybody, I can't imagine people setting their calendars around, but that's what the program schedule is next week and the week after. Well, thank you, Silent R. Lamar. Silent R. Lamar says, I am and will be listening via my phone, hoping for a good show. Kill 'em, Bob. Don't talk like that. That's why I get the emails from Agent Fred. But I'll try to create the best program I know how to create. How's that? Is that fair? Yeah. And toward that end, there's just sometimes weird stuff happens. And what I mean by that is we talk about something on the program, and then I find out that something has happened that is completely in line with what I was talking about. It all has to do with that tattered purple robe with the frayed appliqued moons and stars on it, and Will Thee Kiss Me in the Dark, Baby, written in glow-in-the-dark paint across the front, and my busted magic eight ball that forever, with the cracked screen, reads, answer hazy, ask again later. There was an example of that. You may recall that yesterday I recounted my adventure hoping not to get blown the hell away in Kroger's by the guy who is was such a chicken shit that he couldn't go to Kroger's without carrying a deadly weapon, you know, in case somebody decided to ambush him over there in amongst the fruits and nuts. I got a little response about it. Carol, who's been kind of upset with me, Carol in Las Vegas, wrote in regarding the whole Kroger thing. Carol, in previous emails, has manifested some dismay with me because he thinks that I am overly sympathetic to the plight of people of color who get blown away by police, and that I focus too much on Nazis and Klansmen and Klan sympathizers, you know, Trumpansies, Republicans, maggots. And Carol said via email about 9 hours ago, "As far as seeing someone with a legal firearm in a Kroger goes, I would rather see that than a bunch of gangbangers coming down the row who might stab me to steal my wallet. But I guess gangomentalists, gangosexuals, don't ever think about that. Also, how can we talk about Trump having problems?" And this is where the note kind of goes off the rails. "How can we talk about Trump having problems with walking up or down stairs when beloved Hillary last week again can't walk up 5 or 6 steps without help and can't walk down 9 or 10 steps without falling on her ass twice? With as fat and out of shape Hillary is, I wouldn't be throwing around the words jiggling adipose tissue, and I don't even want to think about what Hillary's junk looks like. Yuck." Signed, Carol in Las Vegas. Well, you know what? I do a lot of Krogering here in almost level West by Cole Trump Virginia Stan. And I have seen a lot of people carrying weapons strapped to their sides, and who knows how many others with them just tucked away in their pockets. Because if you're 21 and you have a pulse in this state, you can now buy yourself a pistol and just carry it anywhere. No permit required. No, just concealed carry. Just tuck it away, you know, in case you suddenly need to protect freedom. I never once have I seen a gang banger. Although I understand a lot of people apparently live in mortal fear of gang bangers, especially apparently, I don't know, people who spend a lot of time watching Fox News. But be that as it may, as to the question of how we can talk about Donald Trump's sweaty adipose jiggling self rolling sweatily and greasily off of, say, Stormy Daniels and saying, "Ooh, that was great. You were great. You remind me of my daughter Ivanka." Well, the reason we can do that is, and I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but Donald Trump is president of the United States and a threat to the very fabric and fiber of this republic, and Hillary Clinton is a private citizen who isn't running for anything and has no particular relevance to the present moment in American sociopolitics culture. but the Hillary hate is apparently strong with this one. Yeah, really. Clarity says, wow, Carol's a Hill hater. How dare you, Bob, not be right-wing PC? I just don't find anything to talk about. There's nothing. She has no further relevance. She ran for president. She had the election stolen from her. And game over. I remember when Al Gore ran for president, had the election stolen from him. He went off and put on a flannel shirt and grew a real soup strainer of a beard, and it was over. Every once in a while, we might offer up a comment or just a query or wonder over in that alternate multiverse what America would be like if Al Gore had gotten to be president. But we didn't spend a lot of time talking about Al Gore, or whether he was large or small. But we did spend a lot of time talking about the person who was actually the, and I don't want to put too fine a point on it, President of the United States. You know, like Trump. And so, you know, Trump's president. Nobody else is. There we go. No, Steve, not with yours. Nope. Steve does have a question, though, and this means it's probably bothering all the other members of the fraternity of Steve. I thought everything was Obama's fault. I'm really confused. Who exactly is the reason for all of our problems now? This on the subject line, Carol in Vegas. Whatever Fox News says at any given moment in time. Meanwhile, Arthur with a viable question. Subject line, Kroger banging. If I saw a guy with a gun at the grocery store, I'd think that he was a gangster. How do you know it's a good guy? Is it because it's a white guy with a red cap? Yes, Clarity. Clarity commenting, poor losers, all you libtards. I know. So there we, yeah. There we go. Now, see, like I said, people listen to this program on their own schedules. I just got a note from Felicia. Hi, Bob. Hope all's well. Longtime listener. Monthly $25 subscriber. Hope it's still helping. Oh, Felicia, it is. You have no idea. Thanks to you and the other subscribers, we get 1 week of fundraising free radio, just like we're doing right now. I moved to the West Coast in the summer, so now I really never get to listen live, but I do still hear and enjoy the podcasts. I listen when I'm on the treadmill. Writing today to say thank you for the obligatory Star Trek references. I just heard the nod to the Kobayashi Maru. It made my day. Borrowing from Mike Malloy, keep it lit, Bob. And the best to Agnes. Thanks, Felicia. Thank you very, very kindly. Yeah, more and more, the whole Mueller, Stormy, every other thing, he's really working. Yeah, the Tangerine Tiberius really is working himself into his own little personal Kobayashi Maru. And he doesn't have the smarts or the chutzpah of say a James Tiberius Kirk. Although, see how I worked in Tiberius there. Don't try this at home, kids. But then again, maybe our country itself is in its own no-win situation. You get rid of Trump, you got Pence. You don't get rid of Trump, you got Trump. No win. By the way, note coming in from Robert in Australia, partial sponsor of this evening's program. Subject line, Hillary Clinton at 70. I turned 60 this year. Hurrah! I've had arthritis for 20 years. It's now in my spine, and I've developed sciatica as a result. Both cause pain, discomfort, and reduce movement. I've walked with a cane for the last 15 after two falls that broke a couple of toes. So if Hillary Clinton at 70 has a few issues getting around, I can understand why. Thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly, Robert. Ron in Raleigh with a note. Subject line. About those gangbangers. The thing about those gangbangers is that they're not roving through the suburbs randomly shooting white folks. They, for the most part, shoot one another, except for the odd stray round killing some innocent. They leave it up to the gun-humping white guys to randomly kill people they don't know. Well, and, you know, and then the young white guys who, yeah, schools. Meanwhile, Bill in Allentown simply says, I agree with Steve. It's all Obama's fault. Precisely. That's just too deep to that's too deep to go into, Marty. Just way too deep. Well, thank you very kindly to Alma, who just even though it's fundraising free radio, just kicked in a Jackson and says that's especially for Carol. Thank you, Alma. Thank you. Scott and Punky say, I wonder if he's fallen under the influence of a guy I used to work for mercifully briefly. When I lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma in the mid-90s for about 18 months or so, I took a job as board op for a morning show on a right-wing talk station. It was one of those station lease operations and a real shoestring budget kind of a deal. The hosts didn't get paid directly. They each needed to sell their own spots for their shows to generate the necessary income to pay for their daily chunks of airtime. Anyway, the guy who helmed this operation was named Fred Weinberg, and as I mentioned, my term there was brief. I think he's out in Vegas, might be out of radio these days, but at one point he left Tulsa and went to Vegas, and hence Scott wondering. Well, Scott and Punky wondering. So, anyway, just to take this to its logical conclusion, because like I said, the tattered purple robe is involved. A member of the Fraternity of David, our buddy David in South Carolina, Stan, sent this along earlier, having heard last night's program and the guy in Kroger's with the gun. This story comes out of Michigan. You remember Michigan, one of the states that I guess got all petulantly offended because Hillary Clinton didn't camp out there for 3 months and court them and buy them ice cream and stuff, and therefore a lot of them went and voted for Jill Effing Stein. You remember Jill Effing Stein, don't you? Jill Effing Stein, who said, where's that quote? I keep it handy here. There it is. October 19th, 2016, Jill Effing Stein. If you watched the debate the other night, you would have heard Trump saying that he's looking for collaboration with Putin. He's got business interests all over the place. On that basis, hey, wow, maybe he'd be the peace president because he needs peace all over the place. Yeah, climate change is horrific, But it's not happening tomorrow. No, you damn fool. It's happening every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month of every year that we're presently experiencing. But, you know, it's Jill Effingstein lost somewhere between Boston and Cincinnati or Cleveland or Columbus or Gallipolis or God knows where. Yeah, what do you want? But anyway, David sent this along, a member of the Fraternity of David. I don't know if the same rule applies to David's as applies to applies to Steve's. That's just another matter entirely. But he comes from Michigan, and a fellow was up in Macomb, Michigan, M-A-C-O-M-B. The story begins. It comes from Fox Channel 2. It actually happened the very same, the story was posted the very same day that I was telling the story of the Kroger here in West Virginia. I guess I got off lucky. Maybe we're better at handling deadly weapons here in Almost Level West by Cold Trump Virginia Stan than say they are up in Macomb, Michigan. Remember, the National Rifle Association was founded by a couple of former Union officers up in New York back in 1871 because they had observed in the course of their service during the Civil War that the Union soldiers were not nearly as good with firearms as the Southern soldiers were. That was their hypothesis. And so it began, the NRA did, as a sort of a club to teach people to be better rifle shots, hence the word rifle in the name of the organization. So maybe some of that persists to this day, and maybe hillbillies are just better gun handle. I don't know. But, you know, as compared to, I got away lucky. Fox 2 reports, Shane was working his job at the grocery store when he heard a pop. A pop. Everyone jumped, Shane said. We thought it was a balloon that might have popped. Shane would soon learn, though, that that popping sound was really gunfire. One of the cashiers was freaking. They ran behind the service desk and hid there. He said, I was a little shook up, but I was okay. Moments later, however, deputies from the Macomb County, Michigan Sheriff's Office started arriving on scene, the Kroger at 21 Mile and Card Roads in Macomb. Shane said police came. There was like 16 other cars. Sheriff Anthony Wickersham says a 23-year-old CPL holder, I take that to mean concealed permit license or something like that, you know, concealed. One of these people who carries a concealed weapon because feed them, you know. Wolverines! Right? A 23-year-old CPL holder from Macomb Township was with a friend in the seasonal aisle. Let's see. I guess that would be the Easter baskets and stuff this year, this time of year. When his gun just went off. And, of course, any accidental discharge of a firearm story in the United States of America. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, in the universe, forever, under God, amen. Has to include the obligatory phrase, the gun just went off. Sheriff Anthony Wickersham said, when I say he was adjusting his holster, this is a statement that is coming from him, and obviously somehow pressure was put on the trigger, and the gun went off. Now, there's some bad journalism going on here, because the next sentence leaves a lot of open questions. Here it is. He says the bullet went through his foot. Now, there's nothing else in the story about Sheriff Wickersham limping over to talk to the Fox 2 reporter having been shot through the foot, and in fact, we can safely infer that Sheriff Wickersham wasn't in the Kroger at the time and did not get shot through the foot, but instead went through the foot of the 23-year-old concealed permit license holder's friend. At least that's what I think. That's what I've been able to determine. The 23-year-old, buried lead, the 23-year-old and his friend didn't wait on an ambulance and went to the hospital themselves. Oh, shit, I done fired my freedom protector and I didn't even mean to and I shot you in the foot. Come on, Chester, limp along, let's get to the hospital. Officials at Kroger told Fox 2 in a statement, "We are glad that nobody was seriously injured and the customer left the location okay." As the investigation continues, the sheriff says there will be charges in this case. "We did seek out charges on that in the charge of reckless discharge of a firearm." And employing the Fox-style manual, the reporter on this story, who is one Ingrid Kelly, that's Kelly with two L's and two E's, said, "Now some are wondering if supermarkets should become gun-free zones like schools." Shane, the guy who works at the grocery store, you remember Shane, we started out talking about Shane. Come back, Shane. Shane said, "If it were up to me, that would be the safest thing." Yes, it would be, but the folks there at corporate of the Kroger company don't care about you, Shane, and they don't care about, as we noted previously, their invitees for business purposes to whom they owe the highest duty of due care, and so they're going to continue to let people packing heat who don't really have any business packing heat pack heat into the Krogers there, and well, sometimes the gun just goes off. But again, it was in the seasonal aisle, and he shot his friend through the foot, so maybe it was just an Easter pageant. No, really. Yeah, I know. Yeah, meanwhile, going back to the Kobayashi Maru thing, Elbert in Rhode Island said, "What scares me about Pence is that he believes that Jesus and God talk to him. What scares me about Trump is that he can get us involved in a nuclear war." So, yeah, there's that whole perspective thing. But there it is. At the same day that I was talking about seeing some gun humper in Kroger's, far to my north in Macomb, Michigan, another gun humper in another Kroger's was shooting somebody. Because, as the sheriff reports, he went to adjust his pistol in its holster. Now, remember, this pistol is concealed. So we're going to have to figure out how you shoot your friend in the foot by accidentally squeezing the trigger of a pistol in a holster somewhere on one's person. And I've been trying to work that one out all day. I'm not much in the way of an artist, so mostly I'm working with stick figures. And I just, for the life of me, can't. I mean, you'd think there would at least be a muzzle flash scorch on the person of the 23-year-old Freedom Protector. But there's no mention of that in the story. Nope. So look, all I can tell you, not that this is an advice program, is that you need to be, because it's 2018, we're in the waning years of the second decade of the 21st century, we should be having conversations about jetpacks and helium-filled pants. But no, we're talking about how to avoid getting shot while grocery shopping, because this is a coward nation, C-O-W-E-R-E-D. And we're down pretty much to just sucking our thumbs at this point and hoping for the best, because the National Ruble, I mean Rifle Association, remains the most powerful, wealthiest domestic terror organization in the United States, and therefore prevents us from being able to have any sort of redress of the madness that has consumed most of this country in regard to firearms. All I can tell you is you need to be hyper aware of your situation and your circumstances and your surroundings. I wouldn't have noticed the guy with the gun in Kroger's if I was not sort of at least subconsciously tuned in, because I live in West Virginia and we got a lot of guns here and we got a lot of addiction problems and we got a lot of people under the influence of a lot of bad drugs. And then we just got maggots and trumpanzees who are never quite sure when the ISIS is going to come barreling, you know, barreling out from behind the from behind the sacks of taters and turn your local Kroger into a heap of smoke and rubble, and the only thing that's going to be standing between you and them is a lone Freedom Protector with his Freedom Protecting weapon. Wolverines! Right? So, just be alert. Be alert. Be aware. And if you see somebody carrying a gun, do not assume that they are peaceful. The most you can do is hope that they are peaceful. And then you can remember that old adage about hoping in one hand and defecating in the other and seeing which one fills up first. Because the one lesson we have been taught in this country is, as I noted yesterday, the time that it takes for a lawful gun owner to become an awful gun owner is less than a second. Look at Macon, Michigan. The Kroger's there. One minute they're standing there in the seasonal aisle looking at Easter baskets or I don't know, little chocolate eggs or whatever. And the next thing, his buddy's got a hole in his foot just like Jesus. You tell me. I don't sit around worrying about gangbangers any more than I spent the reign of error worrying about a 6'6" tall Arab with a portable dialysis machine coming to take down the local Big Lots. These people, however, who are toting weapons not because of some degree of expertise, but rather because they managed to scrape up enough money and had enough cellular activity to count it out and put it on the counter, and they were handed a deadly weapon in return for it. Those I worry about. And, well, there's that, too. Cheryl, or perhaps Arnold, or Arnold and Cheryl, or Cheryl alone, says, how you accidentally shoot yourself or someone else via a holstered weapon. The holster does not properly fit the weapon, or it's being used improperly, I not placed on the appropriate place on the body. And that probably, I guess, explains why our freedom, protect, and hero needed to adjust it. Les says, Bob, the answer's easy. His friend was cleaning it, and then the gun went off. Over in the Easter aisle? No, not the place with the Moais and the... But over in the seasonal Easter section of the Kroger's, Les, really? I mean, yeah, Jesus. Reminds me of the best response to all of this I've heard yet came, of course, from Sister Carol Baker. When I posted the picture of the guy walking out of the Kroger's with his Feed 'em Protector on. She told me the story of the day she was in the store in Hooterville. And a woman with a hog leg strapped to her hip pointed to something on a high shelf and asked Sister Carol to, who was not the same as Carol in Vegas, different Carol, asked Sister Carol to get it for her, reach it for her, because Carol was taller. And Carol looked at her and said, why don't you shoot it down? That's some high brass. High brass. And meanwhile, there's another part of this whole story. I mean, it's not part of the Michigan story, and it's not part of the Guns and Kroger story. One of the reasons these freaks are so enamored of their firearms, well, that's true, Cheryl pointing out the trigger can be brushed by the improper holster, or if the holster is meant for ankle use and is in a waistband, not meant to bend off in a soft holster for the ankle, and placed in the waistband will allow bending to occur. But this all, but the thing here, and this is what I find this is troubling. We're talking about firearms that no longer have separate safeties. They've got those stupid trigger safeties where you pull one and then the trigger and then bang, and then it's oops, blam, pray. That's what this is in Michigan, a case of oops, blam, pray. Thank you, Joy. Thoughts and prayers to y'all up in Macon. Thoughts and prayers. But, you know, at least the friend has a new gig. Easter time, he can just kind of gouge the hole in his foot open, and he'll be a big hit at crucifixion pageants and passion plays. But part of the reason, no, they don't all have the double trigger safety, Cheryl, but the thing is, none of these things, whether it does or it doesn't, it can't fire, and I'm assuming a semi-automatic. But in the case of a semi-automatic, it cannot fire unless there is already a round in the chamber. Now, it doesn't take very long at all to pull the slide on a semi-automatic handgun. I'm quite familiar with the process. And there's even a cool, groovy name for carrying your Freedom Protector without a round in the chamber. It's called Israeli Carry. Apparently, this is something that's popular among people who carry sidearms in Israel. You don't have a round in the chamber. You draw the weapon, you rack a round in. Like I said, it takes next to no time at all, and seeing as how it's Israeli approved, it must be deadly, or it must at least be as effective and less prone to disaster than carrying the pistol with a round in the chamber. But most of your gundamentalist, amosexual, freedom protectors around here in this country want to carry it because they just feel like it's too sissified if they ain't got one in the chamber. Yeah. But just to carry this discussion forward, part of the reason for all the fascination with with firearms is that it's a big dollar. It's a big dollar. And the accessories industry is a big dollar. You might recall a few years back we had two separate stories of two separate women. One, literally a rocket scientist in Idaho, and mother of small children, including a toddler. Her husband, her loving husband, had gotten her a concealed carry purse for Christmas. And the day after Christmas, she went shopping over to the Wally World somewhere in Idaho. And she freedom carried her Freedom Protector in her Freedom Protector purse with the built-in holster, and she turned her back on her toddler for a minute, at which point the toddler pulled the pistol out and blew mommy's brains out. And her a rocket scientist. Then there was, by Jove, I think it was Michigan, wasn't it? The woman who had just purchased for herself a brand new Freedom Protector bra, so that if you were down to your down to nothing but your all together, you'd still have your Freedom Protector right there, tucked twixt the girls. And she was testing out her Freedom Protector bra when she put the Freedom Protector into the holster and shot herself through the heart. She was a Republican politician. Note the use of the past tense. And then the gun just went off. Oops, blam, pray. Well, don't be surprised if we get another one of these. Because a couple of days ago, none other than She who was referred to by one of the Never Again kids as some sad old lady named Tommy Lauren, well, she's out there hustling product, folks. No super beats for Tommy Lauren, hell no. She's out there hustling Freedom Protector. Wait for it, I'm not kidding, this is real. Freedom Protector yoga pants. And she even posted a photograph on Instagram of her with a semi-automatic handgun stuffed in the front of her Freedom Protector yoga pants. And she proudly announced in the caption to her photo, "Live, speak, stand, run, carry with confidence. Ladies, chances are your assailant is going to be bigger, stronger, and faster. And that's why you have the name of the product for your gun, your mace, or even your phone. Yeah, you've got it covered." And that's right, there's a new line of Freedom Protector pants, Freedom Protector athletic wear, so that women going to yoga class and working on their downward-facing dog can do so in complete security, knowing that they have a 5 or 6 pound semi-automatic handgun pointed right at, well, you know, we're back to the problem in Kroger's, possibly somebody else. How would you like to be the person in yoga class behind Tommy Lauren? And you look up, and there's the business end of a 9mm who the whatever pointing you right in the face. Oh, no, really. I saw the photo, and I checked the responses to it, and I was glad to see that the comic sensibilities of America are still in happy form, because one of the first responses I saw was somebody who said, "Is that a gun in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?" Because it was the first thing I thought. The second thing I thought was that I think there should be a revival of the classic Christmas movie, A Christmas Story, and the role of the little kid should be played by Tommy Lauren, and when she gets up on Santa's lap and says, "And I want a Smith & Wesson 9mm high-capacity semi-automatic handgun," Santa could look at her and say, "Forget it, kid. You'll shoot your cooch off." So don't be surprised if we have tragic news. Well, how tragic is a matter of speculation and conjecture. Don't be surprised if we have news sometime in the near future that up-and-coming Fox News TV Radio Rwanda Grand Dragon Barbie commentator Tommy Lauren has been severely wounded in a tragic oops-blam-pray incident and has required massive reconstructive surgery of her genital area because she managed to freedom protect her genitals by accident one day in yoga class. But the whole point, you see, of the Instagram post was to shill for the manufacturer it's not very concealed when you get right down to it. As far as I can tell, the yoga pants have a pocket built into dead center of the waistband, the exterior of the waistband of the yoga pants. So she's got her little black crop top on, and there's some bare tummy showing, and then there's yoga pants with a gun sticking out of them. look, you know, it's just how things work themselves out in this program. And yeah, I don't want her to be maimed in some horrible, horrible, oops, blam, pray accident. I'm not that kind of person. But don't be surprised. I mean, if she really is using the product, don't be surprised if that happens somewhere along the way, because you know she's way too hardcore to Israeli carry. She's a cocked and locked and one in the chamber kind of lady. Yeah, I know. Marty says, what's the line on how bad Tommy went ballistic after being called a sad old lady by the students? Yeah, I know. She was probably triggered. We probably shouldn't use that phrase either. Something fierce by all that. Note coming in from Steve in New York. Okay. I really have to chime in here, Steve says. I live in the Bronx. You know, the scariest part of New York City. I walk around the Bronx all hours of the night, all days of the week. Oddly, I've never seen a gaggle of gangbangers. I've certainly never seen any gun-toting gaggles of gangbangers in a grocery store or anywhere else. I have seen gaggles of gangsters who infest Wall Street and other dens of high finance, stealing people's retirement and homes. Funny thing, the gaggle of gangsters are typically 99% white. Cops, on the other hand, do make me nervous when I see them on the street or on the train, and I will typically leave the train or cross the street when I see them, because I do see them carrying their handguns everywhere they go, shooting people who are talking on their cell phones while standing in their own yards. Again, I'm confused, Bob. Well, you're just going to have to learn to live with it. Oh, don't you start, Steve from Georgia, Stan. Raw dog, what's shaking, man? Somebody told you to say that. I know they did. Yeah. Meanwhile, Bill in Allentown simply says, how do we protect ourselves from Freedom Protector owners? Like I said, all you can do is be aware of your surroundings and alert to the situation. And always have an eye toward lines of escape. Because you never know when a lawful gun owner is going to become an awful gun owner. Meanwhile, Todd down in South Carolina, Stan, says, in this here place, because remember, Todd does that voice real good, in this here place, they teach the youngins to lock and load. Otherwise, what good is having the gun? Todd notes, I have witnessed this, for your information. Oh, yeah. It's not like, no. I know. And Todd points out, in all caps, these folks are dangerous and crazy, and some carry badges. Yes. Meanwhile, Ron, in the far frozen north, says, if that gun goes off, she might come and go at the same time. I suspect she has more need for Monistat. Now that's just mean. Although if you want to, don't blame me for this one. This one's on Agnes. No, she's not within earshot. I heard Agnes making icky noises. I don't mean like the noises were icky, but she was going, ew, 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 just you, oh, yuck, oh, no. Things like that. And, of course, when I hear that, I come a-running. Okay, well, let's, no. When I hear that, I attend upon Agnes promptly. And I heard it the other day, and I said, what, honey, what? And she just turns her phone around and points it so I can see the screen. And I read on the screen, how to make yogurt from your own vaginal secretions. At which point, Agnes begins kind of lightly stomping her feet on the floor and shaking her arms and going, no, 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 ew! So, I mean, that's what you get for mentioning Monistat, Ron. It's going to be really rough on me if I have to go back to the all-yogurt, all-the-time diet. And let's see. You guys are awful. You're going to get your ass all Me Too'd if you're not careful. Yoga pants gun, says Scott and Punky. If given a choice, I'd rather face the gun as opposed to the business end of her business. Flavio. And I don't doubt that this is probably true. Flavio, quoting Mrs. Betty Bowers, America's Best Christian, regarding Tommy's yoga pants, the only thing that stops a bad vagina with a gun is a good vagina with a gun. Bill in Allentown says, why doesn't she just watch a ball game like us men? Well, stop that now. Meanwhile, Ron in Raleigh says, I ask again, what the hell are white people so afraid of? The fellow that was my friend said that Trayvon Martin got what he deserved because he was beating George Zimmerman. So instead of taking an ass-whipping, these gun-humpers would rather kill someone. I can't imagine walking around all the time with my sphincter all tied in fear. I can't either. On the few occasions when real fear does grip me, I don't like that sensation. But to simply, you know, sort of feed it and foster it? No, I'm sorry, Ron, I'm no help. Oh, meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa has gone pro on us. Regarding Freedom Protector yoga pants, I guess the gene pool... J-E-A-N, I guess the gene pool cleans itself every once in a while, huh? See what I did there? Yes, I see what you did there. Because aren't yoga pants that look like blue jeans, aren't they called jeggings or something? I think. I don't know. And of course, is this lighthearted? Well, I don't know if we'd call it lighthearted, but it's not as grim as some other things. I had a note from Jack in Shreveport a little bit ago. Subject line, Louisiana, hashtag Alton Sterling. Jack says, officers won't be charged. Numb. I understand. Because that's the breaking news today. A young black man by the name of Alton Sterling was face down on the ground when and completely subdued when police Baton Rouge police blew him away. That was almost 2 years ago. Happened outside a convenience store in Baton Rouge. And once again, as is often the case with these murders by police, it was captured on video for all the world to see. They shot him three times, and then they shot him three times more. After he was dead. For a total of six. You might recall, or if you have any difficulty recalling the Alton Sterling case, it's probably because it happened the very day before police blew away Philando Castile in Minnesota. Blaine Salamone and Howie Lake II, both white, they got paid vacations for blowing away Alton Sterling. And they will not face any form of criminal process for their actions. That was announced today by the Attorney General of Louisiana, Jeff Landry. Said there was simply not enough evidence of criminal wrongdoing and the officer's actions in shooting him three times to kill him and three more times after he was dead, when he was completely subdued and unable to defend himself, well, that they was them actions was reasonable and justified. Asked by reporters for their reaction, the Sterling family said this wasn't justice. Of course it isn't. Justice isn't what anybody gets when police go on homicidal rampages. This is just sort of the final indignity, the final outrage in the Alton Sterling case. Because last spring, the United States Justice Department, headed by U.S. Attorney General Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, also declared that they would bring no action against these homicidal cops. Because they felt like there was insufficient evidence for such a high burden of proof. The high burden of proof to which they refer is proof beyond a reasonable doubt in a criminal case. However, the burden of proof in a civil case is not nearly so high. According to the state's investigation, they said that Alton Sterling, who had five kids, was selling some CDs out in front of a convenience store. The police officers rolled up and said that they were responding to a 911 call about a black male in a red shirt acting threatening with a gun. And that's when they took him down. And Officer Salamone said he was just absolutely rock solid, certain, lead pipe cinch sure that Alton Sterling was reaching for a gun in his pocket. Well, that's when he shot him three times in the chest. Or as, what was his name? Carl B. Ketchum with a butterfly net, Secretary of State candidate in Kansas, said of Representative John Yarmuth, you know, center mass. Officer Salamone followed his training and shot Alton Sterling center mass 3 times. Having been shot 3 times, as what may have been an involuntary response, Alton Sterling tried to sit up, and that's when the officers shot him 3 more times in the back. Attorney General Landry wanted everybody to understand what a dangerous subject this subject was, noting that he had a loaded .38 caliber revolver in his right front pocket that he couldn't have gotten to on a dare. Further sliming him, the Attorney General said, he was under the influence of drugs, and that may have, you know, that may have contributed to his non-compliance. Problem was, although he was so certain that that may have been what contributed to his non-compliance, Attorney General Landry didn't go on to say what sort of drugs were in Alton Sterling's system. And I will merely point out, although they do not know, that if the drugs that were in his system were in fact cannabinoids, THC, that all that would have meant was that he had smoked some cannabis in the last 28 days or so, or maybe longer. They also point out, you know, he was a convicted felon. He wasn't allowed to have a gun in the first place. He never tried to use it. Your friends, however, said, yeah, they knew about the firearm. And they knew that he kept it because he was worried about being robbed. You know, the very thing that the National Rifle Association says you need to have a personal concealed weapon for preventing again. But I don't want it to seem like A.G. Landry is without sympathy. No, because A.G. Landry said, I'm asking that everyone consider the family in the coming days and spend their time and energy in lifting them up rather than creating further division. I don't think anybody else has to create any more division there, Attorney General Landry. You've done a lovely job of it all by yourself. Instead of letting the criminal justice process work itself out, you, like the prosecutor in Ferguson, Missouri, have substituted your judgment for that of a jury tried and true who might have otherwise gotten to hear the evidence and make a decision along those lines. You know, based upon the evidence as it was presented. God Almighty. L. Chris Stewart is the attorney for the family of Alton Sterling. He was not particularly impressed by the state of Louisiana's determination. Among other things, he said the state's findings were biased, and he also noted correctly that Attorney General Landry had managed to paint up Alton Sterling as some sort of remorseless criminal, as opposed to what he was, namely a father selling CDs on the night that he was slaughtered by two members of the Baton Rouge police. Quinietta McMillan, Alton Sterling's, the mother of Alton Sterling's 16-year-old son, said, "We did not get any justice. The system failed us." Mr. Sterling's family also noted that a grand jury deserved to hear the case. And you know what? They're right. A grand jury did deserve to hear the case, but a grand jury might have returned indictments. And that's the last damn thing in the world Attorney General Landry wanted to allow to happen. So consequently, he decided to make sure that a grand jury didn't hear the case. Because, of course, the Attorney General Landry is the chief law enforcement officer of the state of Louisiana. He's a law enforcement officer, just like the two law enforcement officers who killed Alton Sterling. He's a brother law enforcement officer, if you will. If anyone in the system was actually interested in justice, what should have happened is a special deputy attorney general should have been appointed to operate entirely independently of Attorney General Landry, who could then have gathered the evidence and put it before a grand jury so that a grand jury could have made a determination as to whether a true bill should issue. The trouble with that, though, is that the standard of proof in front of a grand jury is a lot lower than the standard of proof, the burden of proof at trial. Because in front of a grand jury, the only question you're asking two questions. One, is it more likely than not, 50% plus .0000001, is it more likely than not that a crime has been committed? And if the answer to question one is yes, the answer to question, then question two becomes, is it more likely than not, 50% plus .0000001, that the people we're being told committed the crime are the ones who actually did commit the crime? And if the answer to both of those questions is yes, then an indictment issues and the process of criminal adjudication is initiated. But if that happens, then the poor put upon officers, the cop union has to hire lawyers for them because, they won't have to hire them themselves. And they'll stay on administrative vacation, leave. And they can't be back out there protecting the people, policing the mean streets of Baton Rouge from all the gangbangers. And it's just a societal loss for the whole community. It's just that it's a bigger loss for five children who don't have a daddy. That's the thing. There's losses, and then there's losses. And, some losses are more acceptable than other losses. Meanwhile, Stephen New York says, yes, let's not forget this about Trayvon Martin. You have a situation where a creepy, overzealous, middle-aged man is chasing a teenage black kid while the kid is walking home from getting Skittles on a rainy night. If I had some creepy dude following me on the way back from the store, I'd beat the shit out of him, too. There's nothing unusual or untoward about what Trayvon Martin did. By the way, the autopsy report found zero amount of Zimmerman's DNA on his clothing or hands, which belies the notion that Martin actually did him any harm in any way. Meanwhile, Ron in Raleigh says, it seems you have deer season, duck season, and turkey season, and it appears we now have Negro season. To paraphrase a line from Blazing Saddles, you want me to shoot that Negro dead? Would that pep you up some? Yes, yes indeed, it is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And we have scarcely scratched the surface. So I think we will, I think we'll take a break. We're at pretty much the halfway point of the program now. And it is a Tuesday, so that means we've got the Green News Report from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. That's a good thing. And of course, this is... This is something that we call conversation radio. So I heartily encourage you, if you are so inclined, and you've got something you want to talk about, to ring up. We just love first-time callers around here. Or haven't called in a while callers around here. And we enjoy the conversation of everybody else who participates as well. I mean the whole community. Not just me and that mouse in my pocket. So, I trust you know the number, 304-574-8178. Toll free if you need us to carry the freight. 844-843-4676. That's 844-THE-HORN. And, of course, from anywhere else on, anywhere on planet Earth, Skype to Skype, the contact is Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. Again, if you've never done it before, then you want to reach the program, get on Skype and send a contact request to me, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B. K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. And you'll be in the conversation before you know it. They all roll into the same place, mind you. So if there's somebody on the line, obviously you're not going to get through. But, you know, keep trying after the call ends and maybe you'll luck out and get into the program. Okay. We'll see how it all plays out. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
A young cowboy named Billy Joe grew restless on the farm. A boy filled with wanderlust who really meant no harm. He changed his clothes and shined his boots and combed his dark hair down. And his mother cried as he walked out, "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." He laughed and kissed his mom and said, "You're Billy Joe's a man. I can shoot as quick and straight as anybody can. But I wouldn't shoot without a cause. I'd gun nobody down." But she cried again as he rode away, "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." He sang a song as on he rode, his guns hung at his hips. He rode into a cattle town, a smile upon his lips. He stopped and walked into a bar and laid his money down. But his mother's words echoed again, "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." He drank his first strong liquor then to calm his shaking hand, and tried to tell himself at last he had become a man. A dusty cowpoke at his side began to laugh him down, and he heard again his mother's words, "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." Filled with rage, then Billy Joe reached for his gun to draw. But the stranger drew his gun and fired before he even saw. As Billy Joe fell to the floor, the crowd all gathered round and wondered at his final words, "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town."
It's Tuesday, March 27, 2018.
The implications of living in the nation's oil and gas capital became all too clear after Hurricane Harvey slammed Houston last August.
Hurricane Harvey's toxic legacy, much worse than publicly revealed. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt gives another gift to the auto industry. Plus,
I will never sign another bill like this again. I'm not going to do it again.
Massive omnibus bill has good news for national parks, firefighting, and a tiny village in Alaska.
All of that surprising good news and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
This is all you really need to know about climate change. Number one, it's real. Number two, man-made emissions caused it. And number three, that's why women need to rule the world.
Man slam. This is your Green News Report.
I'm sick of cleaning up after you guys.
I know.
Okay, Desi Doyen, so the Hurricane Harvey response wasn't quite as impressive as Donald Trump pretended?
Yeah, that's definitely the case. 6 months after Hurricane Harvey hit Houston, Texas, and shattered the record for the largest single deluge ever recorded in U.S. history, a massive study of county, state, and federal records conducted by the Associated Press and the Houston Chronicle has found that Harvey had a much more widespread toxic impact than has been previously made public. The reporters cataloged more than 100 releases of more than a dozen toxic chemicals and carcinogens that were released into neighborhoods and waterways. Yet officials at the time assured the public that the post-storm pollution posed little to no health threat. The analysis found only a handful of these industrial spills have been investigated by federal regulators, and state regulators have taken no enforcement actions at all for these toxic releases. Mm. Meanwhile, a heads up, Bloomberg News reports that Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt will soon begin the formal process of aggressively weakening fuel economy standards that were set under the Obama administration. This would be for new vehicles starting in 2022, and to which automakers had already agreed to do back in 2012.
I guess this is because Trump voters enjoy paying more for their gas?
Yes, apparently so. These standards would have decreased air pollution and greenhouse gas emissions and saved consumers money, but now they won't, thanks to intense lobbying from the U.S. auto industry. And Pruitt also indicated that he may try to strip the state of California of its special waiver to maintain tougher air pollution standards under the Clean Air Act, which a number of states have also adopted.
California is not, you know, the arbiter of these issues. The EPA, the DOT, and others make those decisions. California contributes as well, but that shouldn't and can't dictate to the rest of the country what these levels are going to be.
I feel like I remember this story, have seen it before. This is what happened when the George W. Bush administration came in, and they challenged California's more stringent environmental protection standards, and they won at the time in the Supreme Court. We finally turned that back, but now it looks like the same old fight again.
That is exactly what happened in the past, and it looks like the federal government now is going to participate in switching the rules back and forth and back and forth again.
And if you have any questions about this, go see the movie Who Killed the Electric Car? We had an electric car way back in the 90s called the EV1 that everybody liked who had one, and the Bush administration helped kill that. And, well, everything old and stupid is new and being done all over again, I guess.
Meanwhile, Trump's Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke has launched a new outdoor recreation advisory panel to make recommendations on public lands policy. And he's stocked it with industry representatives who have a financial interest in public lands. Washington Post reports that many of the 16 members of the new committee come from the motorized recreation vehicle industry. Other members have advocated for privatizing park services, while others represent companies with National Park Service contracts. Not on the advisory panel are anyone from the Outdoor Industry Association, which advocates for non-motorized activities like hiking and kayaking. But finally, some good news. The massive $1.3 trillion omnibus bill that President Trump signed last week over his own objections not only retains the current budget of the EPA and retains clean energy policies as is, it also includes a big boost to the budget of the National Park Service to make much-needed infrastructure repairs. Also, a boost for the Forest Service's firefighting and fire prevention budget, which has long been sought by conservation and forestry groups in the wake of record wildfire seasons across the nation. Also in the omnibus bill, and also very good news, a tiny town in Alaska that is threatened by climate change has finally received some federal funding to relocate. The small village of Newtok, Alaska, has been losing 70 feet of land every year due to sea level rise and coastal erosion. Congress has now appropriated $15 million to begin relocating Newtok to a safer location 9 miles inland. It's only a fraction of what's required to relocate the whole village, but it's a start.
I'll take it. For much more on all of those reports and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Dreams can come true again when everything old is new again.
Coming up on, well, 20 minutes before the hour, we are past the halfway mark of the program. And if you'd like to get involved in the program, like I said before, you can dial 304-574. There's no dial anymore, okay? But you can input 304-574-8178 or 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN, toll-free. And on Skype from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn. In the meantime, however, having waited patiently through the bumper and the Green News Report, we have Todd down South Carolina way, but only if I use the right button. Hey, Todd. Hey, Todd. What's happening, man?
Hey, man. Excuse me. I just wanted to thank you for bringing up the Alton Sterling incident.
I didn't see how I couldn't. And don't let it. Don't think for a minute that its placement where it went was, you know, somehow an attempt to say that. I mean, it wasn't the third story. It was kind of the top story, but I wanted to lead into it with other firearm related insanity. Because if you just open the program with something that horrifying, horrifying, depressing, unjust.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I think you orchestrated that very well. Because I understand what you mean. Because you know, that's why I just gave you that quick email blast about. You know, it reminds me of when I got my. Well, let me slow down. Talking about keeping a bullet in the chamber of a semi-automatic weapon. Now, when I went for my concealed carry permit, there's a constable, you know, a law enforcement person that teaches the class that I went to, which happens a lot. And he made a very clear point of that. Like, you know, you need to keep. You know, we call it locked and loaded, you know, keep one in the chamber and then keep the safety on. And I asked the question, I said, well, that's a heavy spring in that gun. What happens when the spring fails? He said, you know, and that's why I wrote you know, that's not safe. You can't, if you drop a semi-automatic weapon that's cocked, that's locked and loaded, it can go off.
If I were in the mood to, or if I were of a mind, it's not a matter of mood. If I were of a mind to own a handgun and carry a handgun, I simply would not carry one of those. It started with Glocks, and then it went for, you know, with those are, it's supposed to be some sort. It's supposed to be a safety feature, but as far as I can tell, all it does is make accidental discharges more likely. Where there's no physical, you know, thumb switch safety or anything, and instead you've just got that little thing in front of the trigger, and once they're both depressed, game on.
Right.
Or game right. over, depending on the circumstances.
Right.
I mean, it just...
I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going. And don't I mean, I think I know where you're going. And don't get me wrong, I do not carry, I'm not walking around with a daggone firearm. That's not why I was in that class.
No, I have. I have in the past, okay? I mean, I don't, but I have in the past. I had a reason to.
Well, there's a reason, right. Okay.
And...
I'm not judging you.
No. But you know, I carried a pistol that had a physical safety on it. Back then, the only ones you could get that didn't were Glocks, and I didn't want one.
Oh, that was probably after the wedding.
That's exactly when it is.
I get you. Well, yeah, I don't blame you either.
I had, you know, and it was a semi-automatic, and it had a physical safety that would stop the hammer from striking the firing pin. And, you know, if you want to carry with one in the chamber under those circumstances, I still think it's dicey. And the thing is, I mean, if you want to talk about this, Todd, there's some theoretical underpinnings on it, but again, it all comes down to ambush. And when the other guy when the lawful gun owner becomes an awful gun owner and starts shooting, then, you know, rule one is take cover. Rule two is, you know, return fire, if you will. There's no competent instructor of fire of especially sidearm play, not play, but you know what I mean, who will say the first thing you've got to do is pull your weapon and shoot back indiscriminately.
Yeah.
You take cover, and then you react, because it's an ambush.
That's what I'm talking about. And, you know, because, right, the first few minutes of the show when I was listening, I'm thinking, you know, because I still can't get this out of my mind that they're actually making it okay to arm regular teachers if they want to, because those are the exact teachers you do not want armed in the school. Any teacher who's just chomping at the bit to carry the goddamn firearm in the school, you don't want that. That's the exact.
Well, okay, but let's.
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
So look.
Okay.
Right, I see what you're saying, because look, see, this is partly the movies, the media, because a semi-automatic weapon. Remember, people used to use revolvers. That's a lot safer. If you insist on carrying around a fucking gun, and I'm not trying to get marked down in the gun thing, but see, that's the movies. Everybody wants this. They want these semi-automatic guns, and then they don't understand that when you go to clean it, you need to keep that thing breached open. It's just too much for these people.
I mean, there are numerous parts to a semi-automatic handgun, and they have to work in a certain way, or it's not a gun anymore. It's a paperweight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are things that go with it, like if you've already decided to sit down and have a couple of ice-cold bottles of Bud Light, then it is not the appropriate time to clean your weapon. But this is lost on a lot of freedom protectors. A lot of Wolverines out there, you know, they think, you know, I mean, that's what makes it funny. Hey, come on over. I got a 12-pack of Bud Light, and we can clean our freedom protectors. Stupid. Yeah.
Like a circle jerk or something.
Yeah, you know, I mean, maybe their spouses are off scrapbooking, but in the living room, Hiram and Cletus are—they got the newspapers out on the, and they got their gun oil and their little ramrods and their cleaning brushes and.
You're serious, aren't you?
Yes.
I thought you were kidding. Oh God! Don't they have something better to do? That's crazy.
Well, but that carries the added cachet. Oh, they don't use words, sissy words like cachet, of protecting freedom while drinking beer. How much more merkin do you want to get?
All right, so that's like that bonding experience. Okay. All right. Well, you know, I mean, I'd rather go shoot some ball or something, but you know, whatever.
Well, that's because you don't love America.
Oh, man. So Alton Sterling, right? And you know what? I really had forgotten about it until you mentioned his name, because I was really upset. Because I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, there was videotape. This is in front of a convenience store, like a Southeast Indian guy was running it, you know, like a, you know, Indian or a Pakistani guy or something like that. And they harassed, the police, the law enforcement harassed him for that videotape of the incident, because it have showed, you know, what they were doing.
Well, one of the things that Alton Sterling's family pointed out is, you know, it's funny how they never got around to releasing the body cam footage or any of that stuff. No. Mm-mm. There wasn't exactly something that you and I would recognize as transparency in the case. We just kind of have to take Attorney General Landry's word for it.
Well, all the witnesses said he was not, in other words, they knew who the guy was. You know, a lot of people have a little hustle, whatever. You got kids and maybe you have a record. That's what they do. They sell CDs, cigarettes, DVDs, maybe some t-shirts, whatever. And, you know, it's, you know, people do that, and, you know, you're dealing with cash. Mm-hmm. He probably shouldn't have had a gun, but that doesn't mean, that means you arrest him if he has an illegal weapon and you take him.
Well, right. And once again, I think we could perform an examination of both the U.S. Code and the criminal code of the state of Louisiana. And nowhere in either, Todd, would we find that summary execution is the punishment for possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Now, there can be some serious prison time, but summary execution is not one of the penalties.
No.
And so, by virtue of bringing out the alleged presence of a firearm in the press release, all they were trying to do was prejudice people against Alton Sterling in the court of public opinion.
Right.
And again, the original 911 complaint was that some crazy black man was waving around a gun. Well, I don't know about anywhere else, but you want to talk about crazy people waving guns? You're a lot more like, I mean, crazy people with guns. I mean, any average Alex Jones listener, walking around downtown bumfuck Texas with an AR-15 muzzle pointed down around his groin. But
Bob, they're supposed to have guns. Those are the guns. It's okay because they know what they're doing. They're supposed to have guns. It's
well,
okay.
Absolutely. They're 5/5 of a human being, not 3.
Was that right? Now you get it. Well, you always got it. But yes, see, you got to know them rules. See, them's the rules. And Louisiana is a crooked ass state. That is a fucking crooked ass place. You know, I mean,
I think you were the one who about had a baby on the air that night. The story of the guy in New Orleans who's going to do some serious hard time. Because the cop did not understand what he meant when he said, "Let me go. I want a lawyer dog."
Oh, the comma incident. Yes.
And the great New Orleans comma incident, and the Louisiana Supreme Court said, "Never in all the history of the jurisprudence of the state of Louisiana have we ever heard of a lawyer dog." I mean, I don't mean to just cast it aside, but there's an element of forget it, Jake, it's Chinatown to this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not an element. Yes, it is an element. It's an element, and it's another data point, and it's another reason why we should all be concerned with this current Justice Department that has said, well, you know, we don't need any oversight anymore of local law enforcement because they're doing a great job. They're doing a bang up job, You see, the system is working like it's supposed to. That's why they call it the system, Bob.
Yeah.
And we should all be concerned, you know, and then we got the Weasel Mulvaney. He just threw out all the lawsuits, you know, all the crooked banks, and then they went and relaxed the rules right after the Wells Fargo fiasco. You know, we're in trouble. It's just too, you know, but this law enforcement thing, these people, why the hell would you rescind the rules when Baltimore, you didn't talk about that case.
No.
You know, they had a whole, and this happens in every big city, Philly, Baltimore, New York.
Are you talking about the criminal enterprise otherwise known as the Baltimore Police Department?
I am, and
where they were running their own little sort of shakedown protection racket.
That would be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. So yeah, so they don't need any oversight because they're just doing their great job. And see, I know a lot of white people are like, well, if you just do what the police say, but you see, it's more than that. We're talking about institutional stuff because what happens is that you run out the good cops. It's like if you work at a plant or auto, I don't know, auto shop, and they have tools on site, and you know, people steal tools, and if you're not in the crowd that's stealing, you know, you're either gonna leave or they're gonna fuck with you all day, for days on end until they drive you out. So
well, in the case of Alton Sterling, and I didn't mention this, but one of the defenses, if you can call it that, one of the defenses is, well, hell, we done tased him twice, and he wouldn't go down. He's a big old buck. What was we supposed to do? Not shit him?
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, somehow I saw that tape from the, not the officer's cam, but the convenience store. They finally, I don't know why I see it in my mind, because they wrestled him to the ground. That's when the officer felt the gun. He said, he's got a gun. And he shot him right in the gut while he was on the ground with his hands behind him.
Well, three in the chest and three in the chest and three in the back.
Yep. So, I'm glad you touched on that, and unless some other people want to talk to you.
Well, you might find this interesting, Todd. I just got a note from our buddy Texas T. He says, Bob, I'm sick and tired of this gun bullshit. My father was a commander in the Behar County Sheriff's Department. 17 years. He served felony warrants. Back then, as a civilian, I could ride along. I've seen him shoot someone, and I've seen him shot at. He had seen firsthand what unsafe gun carrying does to people. So have I. He would never carry with one in the chamber. Even with a revolver, the preceding chamber was empty. You know why, Bob? Yes, the obvious safety feature, but also in case of the asshole grabbing your gun, you had a chance of surviving it. The only time he chambered around was when he was going in guns drawn for a really nasty warrant.
I like that.
It's worth considering. And, well, okay, I mean, I know maybe some people are put off by the fact that a lot of cops look like skinheads. And there's a reason to wonder, I mean, I think it's a statistical certainty that both police and military in the United States have, in fact, been infiltrated by fascism. It's almost a lockdown certainty.
Yep.
But I had occasion one time to ask, you know, why do you guys do that? And I got a very simple answer. We get into altercations with rednecks, and they ain't exactly following the Marcus of Queensberry rules, and they will pull hair. Well, if he's got hair and I ain't, I got an advantage on him. That's how we think here in Hillbilly, because, you know, we gouge eyes and bite ears and pull hair, and they ain't nothing particularly pleasant about watching a couple of hillbillies get into it, whether they're cops or just your ordinary garden variety redneck.
Popsicle.
There we go.
I was thinking it was because you have to, like, have the hat on and off, and I remember when I had hair, it was always a pain when you have a hat on. You gotta take your hat off. You gotta comb your hair.
And then you got hat hair. Yeah, there's that. Well, I mean, there is that too, but if you can't get a handful of it, it cannot be used as a weapon against you. And that's, you know, that I was reminded of that because of what Texas T said about, you know, in case the guy gets your gun, you've got a fighting chance.
Mm-hmm.
See, I remember when the standard issue sidearm of the West Virginia State Police, and they were imposing as hell, was a great goddamn big blue steel walnut checkered handle six shooter 357 Magnum loaded with a seriously hot 357 Magnum round. But then long about the mid to late 90s, they started issuing them Smith & Wesson 40 caliber. And at the time, the old-timers, and I'm sure most of them have since moved on and retired, they hated them.
Mm-hmm.
They hated those semi-automatic pistols. And this was along about the time that the New York City Police Department was swapping over to Glocks. And just the scuttlebutt that we heard was New York City cops were shooting themselves in the feet left and right.
They used to have light triggers, as I remember.
Well, it's not just the light trigger. It's that dual thing. I mean, that's why, I mean, I like a physical safety.
Yeah,
and frankly, if you're in a situation where you can't thumb that safety down, you were already dead anyway.
Well, what's your weather like?
It's been kind of gray and crummy, but it's a toasty 67 here, and we're getting because I think I know why you're asking. We're getting close to barbecue season.
That's what I'm talking about.
The day is coming. I don't know what to expect out of Thursday. Thursday's probably just going to be the heavens are open, but the high Thursday is 75 and the low is 49. Mm-hmm. But rain's in the forecast. What I need is...
When are you going to get some lamb?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that the other day. One, you have to talk to your local banker to do lamb around here.
Oh, God.
Two, even if you're willing to take your life into your hands and go to Kroger's for it, because the Wally World don't carry such shit as that, the choice is not much. And with all due respect to my friends, the Kiwis, really, we've got to bring our lamb all the way from New Zealand because we've forgotten. Well, it's probably better and cleaner lamb than what you'd get here in the new 90 states of Merca. But because it has to come from New Zealand, like I said, you've got to visit your friendly neighborhood local banker to get the okay to purchase some.
Gotcha.
Now, would I, given the opportunity, marinate some lamb in a nice mixture of lemon juice and oregano and crushed sesame and lemon pepper and fresh black pepper and probably grind in some Szechuan peppercorns just because it's interesting. Would I do that? Yes, Todd, I would do that. Would I make up a batch of homemade tzatziki? Yes, Todd, yes, I would do that. But all I can get is either a bone-in or a deboned leg of lamb, and to sit there and try to cube that. Well, one, that's an offense against leg of lamb to begin with, and you don't want to know what a pre-Frenched rack of lamb goes for. It's horrifying.
Oh, I can imagine. What if you could find one? You know what? If you could find one, it would be like buying a summer home or something. You know?
Yeah. No shit. And so much as I do love it, it is probably not going to. And I do. I like lamb. I don't like mutton worth a damn.
Hell no. Well, that's why a lot of people don't like lamb. They you know, they've had the mutton, I think. I mean, that's just a theory. But, yeah. But you know, I had to get used to this because when I first got here, there was no lamb. And then I kept asking the butcher. And they finally would get a little bit in here and there around Easter. You know, I promised them I would buy it. And then, you know, then they started getting the lamb, these lamb chops from New Zealand. But I have to go to Trader Joe's. And I can, you know, it's hard.
Oh,
you know,
this is, okay. This is the part, okay, I understand. This is the part of the program where you taunt me with the fact that you have access to Trader Joe's. Got it. Okay, just check.
Well, I'm just saying, if you will at one point. They've got to open one. And, I mean, I don't know. Well, I don't know. They're funny. I just all I can say is that they just if you're a foodie, they just have what you need. That's what I'm saying. So they always have leg of lamb, like always. I mean, it's not cheap, and they, you know, but it's not terrible, you know. Last time I had lamb, I talked to you that night. Actually, I was on the grill. I got the manager special. No lemon, fresh ground pepper. Oh, and I mean, it's just so rich. It's such a nice cut of meat.
The longer The longer answer is the long-range forecast shows sunny skies all day on Saturday here with a high of 63 and a low of 44.
Hmm.
Yes.
Hmm.
Hmm. Yes, indeedy.
Hmm. Yeah.
Brisket or maybe a very carefully done pork loin stuffed, perhaps?
Sounds great.
Or if I can ever find the time and just the stars align and everything, and I can get down to Bluefield, Virginia, I can get some and Kaneka sausage.
Hmm.
But again, that's 65 miles down and 65 miles back. And, yeah. But, no, I love me some brisket. No, okay, I know what. Ribs.
Mm.
Just, I'll
oh, get, yeah.
I'll get a couple of racks of St. Louis-style ribs.
Mm. Let's see. That's what I'm talking about. That, yeah, with the nice red, with the red sauce.
And just mm-hmm. pour the hickory to it, and yeah.
Man, you got to set up. You know, and, you know, ever since you brought up, even intimating that you might get that flat grill, I mean, the possibilities.
Oh, no, that's an ambition. I mean, that's up there with riding lawnmower and garden tiller.
You know what? You would be guilty. I don't know. Your head would get too big if you got that. I don't know, man. You'd be, no, I don't know. You know, you could gather an audience, all your neighbors, and you could convert them. You know, you get the PA system out there. And see, what will happen is that the aromas from that good food, it'll be like lemon. It'll be coming like lemons floating over. Like, what is that? You know, you'll be preaching the leftist gospel. And then they'll finally become indoctrinated.
Next thing you know, Confederate flags will be coming down, and yeah, no, don't get your hopes up, Todd. But no, the idea of having what I'd love to do is get one of those outdoor, you know, it's just an awning, it's no sides to it kind of thing, and I've got a little concrete pad that I could use, and put that sucker on it, and just stand there underneath it and. I mean, because you can use it any time of day. I mean, I could get up in the morning and look at my beloved and say, honey, what kind of omelet would you like this morning from the propane griddle outside?
Mm-hmm.
And just sit there and saute up the mushrooms. And it's a great, it's not a little, you know, it's not one of those little delicate nonstick surfaces, goddamn iron, you know, and you can sit there and you can chop up your onions and saute them with your mushrooms and. And,
yeah.
And you got your, and you can just shred. You can shred your. Now wait a minute. Oh, here it comes. You got your omelet built, and at the very end, you shred on your Kerrygold Dubliner.
Hell yeah! You know about that?
Oh, I know about that.
Shit! I'll never forget the first people. You got that? Yes. It has like I don't know. It feels like grits, but it has this little crispiness to it. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's good shit, man. That's really good wine.
Oh,
yeah,
just a grape. It's wonderful. You know what I found out though, and this kind of pissed me off. I'm a Kroger's guy, despite the fact. Well, I mean, there's nowhere you can go in West Virginia. You don't have to take your life in your hands to go to the store because some chicken shit with a gun on his hip. But I found out Walmart sells that Kerrygold Dubliner for half of what Kroger sells it for.
Oh, my God.
Kroger sells it for like $7.89 a hunk, and they're standardized hunks. And it's $3.54 or something like that at Walmart. And it was kind of shocking to me because usually the price differential is not that big.
Right.
And I got to wonder if somebody's screwed up at Walmart or if you know, Kroger's is just gouging the hell out of people who like Kerrygold Dubliner and trying to make it up on the back end that way.
It can be pricey. I know when Trader Joe's has a much better price than the local store. I can't even begin to buy cheese at the food line here because the cheese I like, I get regular cheese, but the high end cheese I won't even think about buying that here, like Gouda or something like that. But I remember what Sam. Well, that's no, they do. because Sam's is Walmart. Yeah, you know what? They are consistently about half price because I remember a big block, like almost a government cheese size block. You know, back in the day, the yellow brick of cheese, that size, I got one time for like $6. This was only a few years ago at Sam's. But, you know, I'm telling you, I hate these superstores, you know, but I understand people have kids and little kids and you got to make one stop because it's just too much. But this is going to be the new company store. They got the food, they got the bank, they got the eyeglasses, they got your work clothes, they got your tires, they got your paint, they got your food, they got your cake, they got the deli, they got the toys. You know, I really hate that place, man. I have to go there, I'd say maybe 3 or 4 times a year, and I cringe. I just feel nasty when I go in there. I just don't like it. Anyway, neither do you.
But well, you'll get a kick out of this because of what you started here. I just got a note from Lee in New York City. Subject line, new show idea. Bob, you need to expand your audience. How about a new program, Cooking with Bob? You already have built up the knowledge and the recipes. Keep it fired up. And that's because I was just engaging in some silly idle chat with Brother Deacon Asa. And I said, you know, hell, I've already got a name for it. Potluck,
you could do that.
Potluck Politics with Bob.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, is that a winner or what? Nope.
That's a winner. Don't let that go. You might want to buy the domain name for that.
Yeah. Nail it down now.
Nail it down now. Nobody's got that, baby. Oh, my God. You could do that. I mean, that would draw, like you said, that would draw, that would call it, you know, the guy said, that would draw everybody in. Everybody has to eat. I mean, even people who claim they don't really like food, once they start smelling good food and eating good food, they change their minds. See?
No, you know, feed, what is it, free your head, your ass will follow? Somewhere in there, there's something about armies marching on their stomachs or something like that, but that was Napoleon, and he got his ass whipped.
Oh, my God. Oh, I've been meaning to mention this to you. Last time, and I didn't do it. But, all right, so you know my buddy, and I mean that in a pejorative sense. Mr. Foote, the writer.
Shelby.
Okay. Shelby. We done lost the war, but we ain't going to give up the battle.
And the Confederate Shelby. Sergeant said, run, old hare. If I was old hare, I'd run, too.
Because I'm going to confess to you, I don't know, there might be other people out there like me, around my age, because that was the first really, like, deep, like, really big-time documentary, and it changed everything. So, you know, and I watched that. I had to rewatch it time to time because it never gets old. It's a real thing. Especially if you got some bong hits or something, man. Watch that. It's nice. So anyway, for the umpteenth time, and I'm watching that, and here comes Shelby Foote. And damn it, do you remember when our General Kelly, when he said, well, it was a failure to compromise, when he was referring to the Civil War, right?
Yes.
You rewatch that. I forget which chapter it is. He's almost quoting Shelby Foote. He is almost verbatim quoting Shelby Foote.
I'm not surprised because there's not an honest bone in the body of anybody in this administration. I was reminded of that the other day when I saw a a clip from I forget which late night guy it is. But he shows clips of Trump delivering a speech, and then it's blunt edited to the speech from Legally Blonde. Remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's word for word.
Oh my God! Whoa!
I wish I was joking.
Oh, wait a minute! Now that you've gone down this trail, and see, I have.
And then there's Melanoma talking about her years being a poor black child raised on the south side of Chicago.
for vampires.
I know.
Yeah, but you know, I'm gonna tell you something. This past week, when this mentally ill fascist, who is clearly showing that he's nervous pervis right now, he is. What is it? We are actually living in a country where our leader, our president, is picking motherfuckers off the goddamn television to be in his fucking cabinet. People who are washed up. Not just average people, fucking assholes. What's next? What's he going to do? Get Newt Gingrich? This Bolton? Man, Bolton? Are you fucking kidding me?
I knew sooner or later you'd start getting a little wound up, Todd.
It's too much, man.
Yeah, I don't do that to you deliberately, but now you understand a little bit what it's like living inside my own skull. You're sitting there trying to be peaceful and everything. I got a story I haven't gotten to yet here, Todd. I got a Bishop Willard story for the fucking ages for Titanic Tuesday.
Uh-oh. Well, go for it,
You want to do this?
Wait, I just want to mention one more thing. I don't know how old your listeners are, but Bolton is a washed-up mess. He's already been labeled a fucking nut, a washed-up mess. I mean, we saw him in action. And remember we talked last time, and I was like, man, I don't know, we're going to war. And here comes the war monster. See, and he has this orange menace has all the motivation in the world. He wants to blow somebody up, number one, because he's just a fucking little kid and he likes to play with fireworks. He already did the Moab, right? He deemed they have to do that. He wants a military parade, even though he was too much of a, you know what, a female general to even enlist, but then he wants to watch the damn military parade. That should be in the news every day. That's fucking ridiculous. Punk ass motherfucker. All right, I'm sorry. I had to get that out.
Well, I understand, and I will, all I can do is commiserate. You know what I mean? You can only kick so much furniture. I mean, I've kicked so damn much furniture here that I'm down to contemplating a trip to rent a fucking center just to get the cheap stuff so I won't feel so bad when I destroy it next time.
You ruined your grandma's set, man.
Right. And
we shouldn't be subjected to this because this is beyond. I mean, this television, these getting these pundits all washed up, unqualified, disqualified pundits off of the television.
Oh, no. Look, usually I can make it through, you know, I'll do the Morning Joe thing and then I can make it into I'll stay with Stephanie Ruhle for an hour. But Chris Jansing, whom I also like, was filling in today, but right off the top, bang, right there, Brett Stevens from the New York Times. Another one of those wingnut welfare white folks affirmative action hires.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so he's never Trumpy and everything, but by the same token, and tell me if you go here too, Todd. You see all these principled Republicans who are opposed to Donald Trump on the air now. And you're like, okay, well, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, Groovy. But because I'm a little ray of sunshine, I can't help looking at him and going, yeah, and if we can just get this prick out of office, they'll be right back there hollering the same regressive, right-wing, middle-class, poor-hating crap that they've always advanced and will be... Well, you know, all we got to do is cut taxes a little more for the rich folks, because I've already seen it, Todd. I've seen and heard it where, well, you know, you at least got to give Trump credit for them tax cuts.
Right.
And it's right. do we realize who we've kind of let into the camp here? I mean, they're going to see the big board.
It's scary because apparently we have way too many stupid people in this country, and they will still these people this shift in the economy, this shift in philosophy, will take everything they have and they'll still be like, "That's my president, I love him." You know, meanwhile they don't have a pot to piss in. You know, between these tax cuts, this is going to come to haunt us badly. I mean, everything. I can't think of any. Well, you know what? The only good thing I've heard so far is that his administration increased funding to historically black colleges and universities. I don't know if that's true. I that's what I've been hearing. But I've tried to look at the positive, but. This administration is the people, you know, like the Weasel Mulvaney, you know, it's like everyone he has in office, and not to mention the fact that he's actually been installed by Russia to dismantle this country, and it's obvious now, and it's so obvious.
Do you have a better plan out there for completely disassembling this country than what we're watching happen even as we speak? Do you? Because if you do, I want to hear it. Because as far as I can tell, this is some pretty textbook shit that's going down.
Bob, you said it. That's it. And the thing is. The way the administration is running our government, there's no intention of stopping this train yet.
I mean, look, so everybody was like, all the little wing nuts were like, see, there was no collusion. He's throwing it. We're closing a Russian consulate and throwing out some diplomats. Yeah, we are, because a bunch of other countries are, and it was going to make us look like a bunch of, well, it was going to make him look even more compromised than he already does. But in the process of that, they can't even criticize Putin. So I guess we're supposed to, because this was all over the poisoning of Sergei Skripal, and I guess we're supposed to think that somebody just came up with that on their own and didn't bother to tell Putin, because, you know, Putin's all innocent like a newborn baby rat.
Well, yeah, you know, and I mean, I understand that it's hard to keep, I get that you're going to have some leakage. I get that. You know, because it's monetary. People trying to make money, but there's too much circumstantial evidence, and I just believe our intelligence community, because it's obvious. Especially when you start reading the comment sections on a lot of newspapers, you can see it. You can see the trolls. You know, they're out there. You can tell by their English. You know, or their lack of English. So, my fear is that when this report comes out. Because it's obvious to us. I mean, you've been to law school, but if you look at what a statute is about conspiracy, finance fraud, you know, in terms of your campaign, emoluments, just, you know, on the prima facie, on the face of it, you know, this guy looks guilty as hell. But what is going to happen with the report? You see, that's what I'm concerned about. We don't know what is going to happen with this report. And, you know, and at the same time, I think we need to fix this electoral college, because it's too susceptible to black male coercion and other things. It's just not working. If it's not working, there's no point in having it. I mean, what's the point in having a safety valve if the valve is stuck? It's soldered shut. Do you understand what I'm saying?
A safety valve that has corroded closed or open isn't a safety valve anymore. It's like the thermostat on a car. If that sucker's stuck closed, your car is going to overheat.
Mm-hmm.
And
if it's stuck open, the water's going to just drain out.
Right.
So look, like you said, these Republicans, right? The GOP, they talk a lot, but you know, like Flake, these people don't want to come forward until it's too late. But they like Corker. He still voted for that bill. Remember, he was talking shit, and he still voted for it.
Right.
Then he still voted for it. You know, they want what they want. They need to come clean. Like, they're just using this guy for as long, you know, for as long as it takes. And like, you know, we got to look long range, because the more time we give him, he's going to screw up. Well, he's screwing up the whole government, really. But, the judicial system. I heard it on the radio today, but we've already talked about that. You're getting these young federal judges in who are weird and really are not qualified. It's hard to get a judge out. That's hard. That's hard work.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, but here's what we have to deal with. One, anything that needs to be done is not going to be done by this useless Congress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Two, nothing's going to happen until November 2018, and meanwhile we've got a primary season for everybody to get all butt hurt over again. I mean, look, this program began, and I'm not gooning with me being criticized for talking about how disgusting Trump is by saying, what about Hillary? Hillary's not in the goddamn government. She's not a goddamn candidate. Sorry about the
goddamn thing. Why are people talking about Hillary Clinton?
Well, I guess because anytime you get... You're upset about somebody being upset about Trump, you go, but Hillary. I mean, it's like ringing a dog to one of Pavlov's bells is what it is. No, it's like ringing a bell to one of Pavlov's dogs. It's just the default. It's the default punt position when you got nothing. And to be fair, to be absolutely fair here, I would think, and Jesus, I hope I don't get notes from the Hilarians on this, but I would presume that if she is as savvy as I think she is, she's got to know what she's doing when she shows up at places like the India is Great Conference or whatever it was a week or two ago. Because that's the latest shitstorm. Because she said that she won all the places where the decent people are, and Trump won flyover country where the knuckle-walking troglodytes are. Once again, as was the case with her deplorables comment, and that's not a quote, and I'm paraphrasing, and she didn't say troglodytes.
Mm-hmm.
But she said... Trump won places where he convinced people that he could make America great again by taking us backward.
Mm-hmm.
And as was the case with the deplorables comment, it is an absolutely 200-proof, accurate statement of the situation as it exists.
True. That's one side of the coin.
It is also not helpful.
Exactly. That's the other side. This is exact right. Okay, so you felt the way I felt when I heard that. I'm like, all right, woman, that's the truth.
Now, I'm not gonna tell her to go home and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has an absolute right to talk about how badly she got ripped off and was victimized by a goddamn Russian conspiracy, among other things. You could all, you know, there's a critique to be made that she does not, for all her brilliance and all her intelligence and all her learning, she does not have the ability to really, really take in how horrible a campaign she ran.
Her comments are not helpful to our cause right now. As much as it was the truth, it's not helpful. And it shows how out of touch she is with what's really going on now. You see? And all that does is fuel the fire that is burning us. Not our fire. You know, we need a strong fire to burn them. you know, in a figurative sense.
But I mean, I'm even troubled by saying what I just said, Todd.
Well, but it's the truth, Bob.
But is it or is it not? I mean, I've got, okay. You know how Fred Flintstone had the little devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. Well, I've got a little Hilarion on my shoulder and a little burner on the other. And most of the time I just flick them both off my shoulder and say a pox on both your houses. But I do want to be careful because look, she's in demand and she can make some coin, and in many instances she donates the speaker fees to a charity. So we don't have that whole Goldman Sachs thing going on again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which again, I was right about, you know, way, way, way back in the primaries where I said, listen, just release all the transcripts and you're in charge of the narrative then. Otherwise, you're just going to get worn out with it. And that was the point. Nobody in their right mind thought that she was, you know, giving them the secret lodge handshake that they should use at the White House door mm-hmm. or anything. She went to Goldman
and then
Sachs.
The story
and
died.
She went to Goldman Sachs, told them that they shit ice cream and that it didn't stink. Because mm-hmm. she was paid to shine them on. And that's what it turned out it was. That's what it was.
And she released the transcripts and that story died because she just came clean with it and that's it. Find something else to talk about. Move along. And right. So, you know, folks need to learn how to do that more sometimes. Like you said, you know, the first rule of holes, right?
Right.
Look, man. But what worried me, I'm like, I hope she's not thinking about running. That's what I was thinking, too. I hope she's not thinking about it.
Well, again, I've got a fin on it saying that she will.
Stop it, man. Come on.
What, do you want me to just sit here and blow smoke up your ass?
Man, that woman can. Come on. What is it going to take?
Well, why? Okay, hold on now. Hold on. We're buddies, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the pensive sound
off,
of it. But, okay, so it's almost a foregone conclusion now that Bernie's running. Bernie hasn't said he's running, but he's acting like somebody who's running.
Yeah, he's eating his honey.
Okay. And he's gonna be so old he farts dust when he runs. And Hillary would be younger, considerably younger. So, you know, mm-hmm. to what extent...
Are you saying a Bernie-Hillary ticket? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I don't think either one of those monumental freaking egos would permit that to happen. If that could have been permitted to happen, they would be president and vice president right now if they'd done the right thing in the summer of 2016.
Yeah, they couldn't get it together. That would have been it.
No, I mean there were repeated attempts to get the Beatles together, and it just didn't happen. And that was one of the ultimate sad ironies of the marches on Saturday was to see Paul McCartney standing in New York saying, "Well, I'm marching because one of my dearest friends was killed in gun violence."
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
That was really that was good.
But. No. What I'm saying is, you know, why is it that we can just sort of default to, okay, Bernie's going to run, and he's going to be a billion fucking years old in 2020, and Hillary, who's going to be much younger than him in 2020, we go, oh, no, please, no, not that, anything but that. Because, see, here's the thing, Todd. They both divided the Democratic Party. It takes two to tango, and it takes two to divide a party. It takes multiple candidates. So, I'm just kind of back where I was to begin with. I don't want to see either one of them on the 2020 ticket. I don't want to see them in the primaries. I don't want to hear about them in the primaries. If you're over 60, Joe, this means to you too, buddy. I love you, and I enjoyed riding around in the Trans Am with you that one day. But, no, really, if you're over 60... All right, let's cut some slack. 65.
Mm-hmm.
If you're over 65, I don't want you running for president. I'm 55 years old, so that's not that bigoted a statement on my part.
Mm-hmm.
But I sincerely don't want to see that. Because we have got to develop the bench in this country.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. And you know what? And now when you dovetail that with the recent news, events, that's a better word, with how powerful these young articulate people are. Because, you know, young people, they, you know, 38 is old to them, probably, you know, 45. That's,
again, reference,
you know, they're young.
Tommy Lauren, who's what, 25, 26 years old. And she's referred to as some sad old lady named Tommy Lauren. Okay.
Oh, God. That's crazy. But yeah, so right, I agree with you. We need some younger folks, and Bernie still has his following, and you know, just back the right person, you know, and try to get people to back, you know, that particular person, whoever it may be. But I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to say, but. You know, before the last presidential election, when I was talking with people in the neighborhood, all different types of people, you know, I had no idea how conservative this area really was. I mean, it didn't matter what your ethnicity is.
Right. I was about to say, South Carolina is not just a white conservative state. South Carolina is a conservative state, period.
Correct.
Black folks are conservative. White folks are conservative. you know, the South Asians are conservative. Everybody is, I mean, okay, that's not, it's not, no, not everybody. I know there's a nice little core of progressives in South Carolina, but they are badly outnumbered. The same thing can be said of Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
okay? There
mm-hmm.
are progressives there who are brave as can be, but there's not enough of them to change the political dynamic. And
Thank you. This is where I'm going with this. Exactly. And this is what I've learned over the years. Remember, the South is a really solid, powerful voting block. It's very conservative. You know what? You look around. Look at all the other major countries. We are not as liberal as we think we are. We're not ready. Right now, we're not ready for a female president. I am. You are. I don't care. You know, as long as
you do the job, we'll be plenty ready in 2024 when Ivanka's running.
Well, that's down the road.
It's
we'll see what
which
happens.
Female president we're ready for. Okay?
We haven't.
I mean, I'm getting in trouble for this.
No, I know you're saying
I'm tired. I'm worn out with chromosomal politics.
Mm-hmm.
There was an interview with some woman who was her communications director on Morning Joe this morning. I can't remember her name. It's Jen something or another. Jen Palmieri or something. And she said, in the campaign, we recognized a phenomenon that we referred to shorthand as T-S-A-H-I-J-D-L. And it goes all the way back to when Bill was running for president. And it stands for, there's just something about her I don't like. Or just don't like.
Oh, yeah, that woman. You sure?
But talking about Hillary.
I know you are.
And I go back to the early aughts and you know, conversations I had back and forth with Bart Kopp saying, you know, I think she's brilliant, and I think I got proved right that if a 25-year sustained effort to destroy a human being is sufficient to stop that human being from ever becoming president.
She was a horrible candidate. They never should have backed her. All she got was the black vote and all the black women vote, right? And then after that,
Well, I mean, look, apparently When Madeleine Albright said there's a special place in hell for a woman who doesn't support Hillary Clinton, 52% of white women in this country said, fuck off. And voted for the pussy grabber.
That's what you read my mind. Can you imagine those women wearing t-shirts saying, yeah, grab my... I'm not supposed to say that anymore.
Well, but see... They're still there. I mean, I was going to bring up the Doug Jones Roy Tolamore election, and I acknowledge the heroic effort that was made to get out the vote. But regardless of Doug Jones's numbers, had it not been for the 20% of Republicans who just said, "Screw it, I'm going to vote. I've got a civic duty, and I'm going to go and I'm going to write in my mother-in-law."
Mm-hmm.
The margin of victory were those Republicans who would not vote for Roy Moore. But you still have to take into account the 62% of white evangelical women and the 73% of white evangelical men who said, what? He's a child molester? Shit, can't I vote for him twice in the name of Jesus?
Well, you see, the foreskin has come off of these evangelicals, because it's not about religion. It's not about Jesus. It's not about God. It's about, we're white people, and this is what we want to do things, and this is what we want. Because...
Well, right, and that got born...
Value.
That got
well,
born...
That doesn't mean anything.
That got, but that got born. That got born out today, Todd, with the bullshit over the census. And that's another one of those moments where, among our tiny little family community congregation, I get to say, hey, we were ahead of all of this. Because I know it's back, you know, we don't label the archives or anything, but I know it's back there in the archives because I remember doing the program, and I remember saying, yes, we're all having a hissy about we've got to vote for Hillary because of the Supreme Court, and that's true. But that's the presidency, and I said, if you ever want the goddamn Congress back, you better pay attention to the fact that there's a census in 2020 and the president elected in 2016 is going to be in charge of how that census gets done. And bang, today, here it is, the Department of Commerce, which oversees the census, Wilbur Ross, the guy who gets up every morning and looks like a scene from a horror movie with all the coal miner blood all over him. Wilbur Ross, who is up to his eyeballs in dirty banking with Russian oligarchs in a bank in Cyprus, that Wilbur Ross announced in his capacity as the Secretary of Commerce that we are going to do something on this census that we have not done since 1950. We're going to ask a particular question, Todd. Are you a citizen of the United States of America? Well, the fact of the matter is, the purpose of the census is not to count the citizens.
Thank you.
The purpose of the census is not to count the voters.
Mm-mm.
Registered or eligible. The purpose of the census is to determine how many people, period, people live in the United States of America.
That's it, period, a head count.
And when you mentioned that, you know, it's a bunch of... the bloom is off the rose, and evangelicals are just trying to hang on to what power they can. Well, that's part of it, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a shit ton of state attorneys general who are filing suit against the Trump regime, saying, no, you're doing it wrong. Because if you don't count people who are non-citizens, they don't disappear, but what you get to do is you get to play dirty with government, with the government's tax revenues and the government's services.
Well, see, you hit the T word. Well, first of all, I like the R word, regime, because that's what we have to use now. This is a regime. This is not an administration. This is a regime, period. But the T word, the taxes, because this is what I don't like when people talk about people without documents, you know, however you want to label folks. When they talk about this, they're draining our economy. Those people, a lot of them, if they have a real job, they have fake numbers. So they pay into the system, and they'll never get any money out of it. And they still have to pay taxes because you have to buy water, you got to buy food, you have to pay rent. All that is taxed. So when they try to circumvent the headcount in that with that question, that is not a true – because those people are here. They're using resources and they're paying for resources. So I could – I don't understand. If that went to the Supreme Court, I don't see how that could pass muster.
Ah, no, you forget what the Supreme Court is right now.
Well, they're lizards.
Remember, so. Ann's boy Neil's there. And
I'm trying to get some sunshine, Bob.
I know, and you know, you want you're in South Carolina, man. You want sunshine, walk out the door. But I predicted this. I saw this coming.
You did.
And you know, we happy few, you know, if you're part of this community, if you're listening, then you're probably ahead of the game. And so what does this mean? Well, the primary reason for counting citizens instead of everybody is that it changes how you apportion congressional districts. Because even though they're not, there's a philosophical discussion here. Do people who are not citizens but live here, do they have a stake in how the country is run? Do they have, does it matter that they're here? That's what we're ultimately asking. Does it matter that they're here? And so, you know, when we send our army off to, our military off to fight a war for some oil company, well, theoretically they're fighting for everybody back at home, not just the citizens. Because our military has a lot of non-citizens in it.
Yep.
Witness the fact that we tend to deport them after we're done with them. If they so much as walk with a shoelace untied. So, what we're going to witness in 2020, after the census, is a reapportionment that will work to the benefit of the Republicans, and make it harder for the demographic, because this is the bottom line to all of it, make it harder for the obvious and irrevocable demographic shift in this country to be manifested in our politics. Do you see what I'm saying?
This is evil. I do, and it's
because,
evil genius.
I said a long time ago that before the things that happened that make people think there's going to be a blue wave, I said that the first realistic chance to have a complete takeover of the House and the Senate would be the midterm elections of 2022, which means it would be the Congress that would enter in January 2023. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with this declaration by Wilbur Ross, they're saying that they recognize the truth of that statement and that they are willing to do everything that is in their power to keep that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, for all the precious little tender-hearted conservatives out there who say, well, I'm not a racist, I ain't no Nazi, I don't am no member of the Klan. Scams and schemes like what Wilbur Ross announced today are nothing but white power politics. Plain and simple. An attempt by a shrinking demographic to keep a death grip on political power in this country, regardless of the changing face of the nation itself. See, As the whitest man on the radio, a guy who's so fucking white that he burns under the refrigerator bulb, I'm not afraid of an America that's becoming more diverse. I'm not afraid of an America that's darker than me, because most of America already is. Even the white folks I know are darker than me. But I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of the future. Conservatives, by definition, are terrified of the future, Todd. And except for the risk that we run because of the Geezer disgust us being in the White House, except for the risk that we run of waking up dead some morning because the dumbass has launched a nuclear war, the future doesn't scare me. Now, things about the future scare me, but it isn't about brown people or the rising power of women. It's about the rising level of the fucking sea.
Yeah. Well,
and the rising rising temperatures on the thermometers. And so far, I see no indication from these people trying to maintain their white power structure that they have any inclination to do anything about either one of those things. See, I don't mean to come off like I'm yelling at you. You know I'm not, right?
No, they have other things on their mind, Bob. They have other things on their mind. And I'm kind of going back to what you were saying, or this census. If that can pass muster, think how that could work in concert. And I feel so bad for the DACA people, because I remember when Bush was urging them, just get on this list. We promise you, nothing will happen. Remember that? Remember?
Was it Bush or Obama? The Obama administration said, "No, we're not going to do anything with this data. I mean, you're going to be safe."
A lot of people signed up, and now they have everybody's name, you know. And see, they want to make these folks non-entities. So I'm curious. I wonder if the numbers in the census are just going to like drop drastically. If in fact that question is. But that defeats the whole purpose of the census. That's what I have to go to the Supreme Court. And you're right, it may, you know, but with that court we have now, who knows? Because Kagan, she surprises me sometimes. You never know where she's going to come with sometimes.
No, and you know, it wasn't that much of a surprise, but it was kind of refreshing to see the New York Times op-ed this morning penned by retired Justice John Paul Stevens. Did you catch that?
Yeah, Second Amendment.
Yeah, yep. He said, you know, these young people are getting it right. That all their issues are right, but he said, and I don't think he was yelling, you know, get off my lawn. He was saying they need to just get to the nubbin of it and say repeal the Second Amendment. And then he went on, because he is a brilliant mind and a brilliant writer. He went on to explain why, because the goddamn thing is an anachronism. It was, for 200 years, it was not intended the way that the NRA has got people to believing it operates. It was put there, you know, not to support the slave patrols, although that was, you know, that worked out to be, you know, part of the upshot of it. It was put there because the individual states wanted to maintain their individual state militias in case the federal government decided to get all froggy and have a standing army that they could use to bring a state back into order.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? To a certain extent, we saw that. All you need to do is know history to know that it plays out that way when John C. Calhoun starts hooting about, nullification,
mm-hmm.
And Andrew Jackson says, I will personally come to South Carolina and I will start hanging secessionists till there ain't none left. Now, what he meant by that is that by then, Andrew Jackson, you know, his fame and his glory was as a general. And he meant that he would bring a federal army to South Carolina and pacify the damn place.
Yep, he did.
And that was what that's what the states were worried about. But this is not then. And every state has its militia. Every state has a National Guard, which the governor can call up at the will and pleasure of the governor, but which the president can federalize in times of crisis. Witness the number of National Guardsmen who did not come home from our little misadventure in Iraq, because we sent them over there with Humvees that were designed for carrying them around to go and clean up after tornadoes. But tornadoes don't use IEDs, and so the Humvees weren't up armored, and we wind up with Donald Rumsfeld saying, "Well, you go to war with the army you have, not the army you want." Asshole.
Oh man. Well, one last question.
Yes, sir.
Did you see our buddy John Meacham? I really enjoyed seeing him. He blew his top. This morning or yesterday?
I saw him this morning, and he looked like he was he was going into labor. He was on the way to having a baby.
Because isn't he always measured? That's one thing I like about him. Like, he will tell someone off, but it'll be in a very measured, academic type of way.
Yeah. I mean, that's his shtick.
Yeah, not today.
No.
Man, I always enjoy talking with you. I hope other people enjoy.
Oh, someday, Todd, we're going to have a horn in, and it's going to be a high old time. Can you imagine you and me just standing there with a pair of acorns and maybe a griddle or something, and all the happy members of the Horn Family Community Congregation just with their mouths a-watering and the smoke billowing out of those, and you and me yelling conversation at each other. Oh.
Oh, my God. The sound of the spatulas like you did last time. You
had ding, 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 ding.
You had this shit right. Oh, man. Well,
and by the way, ain't no way I can ever afford it, but for people, but there, I browse the Patagonia site because I love Patagonia's stuff so much.
Mm-hmm.
For us barbecuing types, mm-hmm. Well, I saw something that's really freaking cool. I mean, I saw this and I just went, oh yeah. I mean, that would be perfect. It's $60 freaking. So like I said, I will never own it. But Patagonia has a work and shop apron made from what they describe as durable, comfortable, breathable 9.6-ounce all seasons hemp canvas.
Oh.
It's kind of that sort of tawny, dark yellow Carhartt color.
Okay.
And it's long.
Is it smooth like a Carhartt jacket, or is it natty like a raw hemp type of fiber?
No. It's like a canvas. It's like a Carhartt canvas.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, you can see the weave of it. But
wow.
It's not a, if you look at Patagonia.com, you'll find a Patagonia All Seasons Hemp Canvas Apron. I thought of you when I saw this. This is a barbecuer. This is a smoker's apron.
Yeah, you need that.
And it's got the loop for the neck and then a big pocket on the chest and then a couple of big patch pockets where you can drop your tools and your spices and your rubs and stuff. And it's long enough that, how tall are you, Todd?
I'm about 6'3".
Okay, so you got a little bit on me. I'm figuring it would probably hit the likes of you and me a little bit above the knee.
Oh, that's perfect. I can't tell you how many nice shirts I've ruined. You think you're going to run out there and turn the meat, and then something pops, and it's like, oh, another shirt.
Wait a minute.
Ready to...
And they're just done, because that shit does not come out. And I'm a redneck, and presented with the problem, I will rub my greasy ass hand on my shirt or on my jeans.
You know you do it, and then it just makes it worse, and it's like, well, that's really fucked up now.
And I don't care if you use Oxy Shout spray, and it is not coming out.
So do you have a pile of these shirts also? They're
yes.
Nice. Okay, they're nice shirts.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do.
So we have the nicest work shirts on the block.
Oh, right? I got an entire barbecue and wardrobe. But the other thing about it is, if you just put it in with your regular dirty clothes, your entire dirty clothes hamper is going to smell like hickory smoke.
Oh, man.
And that's a plus or a minus, depending on how you look at these things. But no, that is one cool damn apron.
You know, right. And that, you know, you've seen these letters like from our forefathers, you know, when they used to grow hemp and make their shirts. They were like, my hemp and shirt lasted for 20 years. You know. So that's a good
thing. And by the way, we're out of time and everything, but since I mentioned that hemp apron.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Don't apologize. I saw a story the other day. Chinless Mitch McConnell filed this under even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then. Chinless Mitch McConnell is going to introduce legislation in the Senate of the United States to completely decriminalize and remove all criminal references to the growing of industrial hemp.
Bluegrass, baby.
Because it will be good for Kentucky, especially all those farmers who used to grow all that tobacco and are now growing hemp.
Okay. I know you're out of time, but I got it. Okay, so it's a shame. Why are people coming around when things are so desperate and disparate? People are finally society's learning what works, maybe. And you know, with this, with technology and everything, and self-driving cars and artificial intelligence, I'm not sure what's going to happen with some communities, except that maybe we've got to go back to being Luddites or little communities that make a certain type of craft, like craft beer or craft art.
Well, you know, always in the back of my mind is lingering the that passage from the Orange Catholic Bible that's referenced so many times in Dune. Thou shalt not make a machine in the image of a human mind.
Well,
by the way, almost solely and almost entirely based on the tech sector, Wall Street vomited again today. And NVIDIA, I think, announced that they have suspended their autonomous automobile software project until they, you know, get a better handle on it. Arizona has booted Uber's self-driving car out of the state. And
good.
Well, like I said before, again, geezer moment, I don't understand anybody who wants a self-driving car. I am absolutely, well, I mean, like I said, I don't wander around being afraid of things, but the fact that Cadillac is actively advertising their autonomous highway system and showing the dude with no hands on the wheel, no feet on the pedals, and he's behind the wheel, and he's got some green bottle in his hand, and he takes a big old drink.
Oh, hell no.
You know, ripping on down the interstate. Am I worried about that? I'm worried about that. Because that system's all tied into GPS and bullshit. It could not be any more hackable if it wanted to.
That's what I'm thinking. This is the wrong time. I mean, I understand. Fine, do the research. Keep it on your research track. Because we all know right now, between the sunspots, our vulnerabilities, right? We see how good these hackers are.
But I mean, there's an even simpler, lower-level question, Todd, and that's this. If you've got the coin if you can drop $80,000-$90,000 on a high-performance sedan and you don't like to drive, why aren't you riding the bus? I mean, why aren't you? You don't like to drive? Who the hell cares? Get a Hyundai. Get a Kia. Get some craptastic little Chevrolet or Fiat or something. The reviews are in on those little Fiats, and apparently they suck. I think they're kind of cute, but if you don't like to drive, why are you dropping 90, 100, 120 on a car that you don't like to drive? Jesus, you put me in my Porsche, my Porsche Carrera Targa.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to drive me. You're gonna have to force me back into the studio every night because I'm just gonna want to be out on the road. I don't even drive with the radio on because I like to hear the song of the engine and the tires on the road and how the car's responding and what's that squeak and is that just me? I mean back in the long ago I had a 911. Mm-hmm. And a couple of my buddies had 911s. And we used to just go out and drive them together. And the joke was, you know, we don't turn the radio on and we roll the windows down in all weather because we want to hear the Teutonic Opera. Namely the sound, you know, that beautiful engine noise.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you're talking about a manual. When you use brakes. In other words, when you know how to drive and you downshift going into a turn, you release the clutch slow.
Heel and toe, baby. Heel and toe.
You know what I'm saying? That's real drivers like us. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. I learned to drive on a Volvo stick, man. And I'm so glad I learned to drive on a stick, and especially in the snowy climate, you know. So I know what you're saying. Yeah, it's like you become one with the machine, like they say.
Mm. I mean, I'd love to see some demographic numbers. I wonder if, say, because, you know, this is just my own personal mythology, but I wonder if people in Germany, where the Autobahn is, where they love automobiles, I wonder if the Germans are getting all worked up, well, we will soon have self-driving automobiles so we can sit in the driver's seat and text on our mobiles, on our handies. Because I want to believe that they're like, no, that's why I take the train.
You know what I'm thinking? That technology is probably going to be geared toward is the over-the-road trucks.
Well, ultimately that's the goal, but it's being deployed first for people who have more dollars and cents and would spend big money on a Cadillac instead of a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW. I don't know. Maybe Mercedes-Benz is doing it, too. I mean, there's stuff out there I like. I know that some high-end car companies, Mercedes-Benz being one of them, they've got a heads-up display that has an infrared sensor that looks beyond your headlights at night.
Mm.
And I think that's cool.
You need that for deer.
Mm-hmm. Around here, you're damn right.
Oh.
I know you've hit a few. The headlights that will turn with the curves and stuff like that. That's a brilliant extension of technology. Charging $15,000 for a system that'll let you sit in the driver's seat and text and pound down a few butt lights ain't.
I'm just not trusting. I just don't. I'm not trusting our satellites right now. There's too much. It's too much turmoil in the world.
By the way, the Chinese space station's about to come down. It'll come down sometime between like tomorrow and April the 2nd. Did you catch that?
Well, I asked them. I want it in my yard because I want to chop it up and sell it.
Well, the thing is though, the Chinese government announced that it has run out of fuel. And they can no longer control it, and its orbit is degrading. And so it'll burn up, and chunks of it will fall somewhere. And since this is mostly a water planet, hopefully most of it will fall into the ocean. Although a 200-pound hunk of Skylab, I think it was, fell in Australia, and whichever state it was, it didn't hurt anybody. In the middle of nowhere. But they did fine NASA for littering. No joke. But that line about it has run out of fuel, what did they send that thing up there with 10 gallons of two-cycle fuel and a little two-stroke engine to run?
They weren't sure.
Don't you deploy solar panels for that kind of stuff? You know, the big ones that get the 200-proof stuff that hasn't even had to go through the, you know, atmosphere? It's run out of fuel? I mean, I just got this image of some dude.
Wait a minute. What kind of? So that means it's nuclear. It's probably nuclear.
I don't know. It's creepy as shit, though. But
that's what they mean. No. It has to be. How long has it been up there?
I can't imagine that the nuclear fuel would have run out by now. It's like I said. It's more like me imagining some guy climbing up and pulling the pull cord on a two cycle engine before 10, 9.
they said it was the size of a minivan or a bus or something.
Yeah, and it goes up and but you can see it streaking across the sky. I think it orbits the Earth twice every couple of hours. I mean, if you look up Chinese space station, you'll find it.
Somebody on YouTube, I bet you, I can almost guarantee you somebody on YouTube is tracking that. You like to talk about Star Trek. Do you remember the episodes where, I'm talking about Next Generation now, I'm not talking about the real one, but, you know, they would often visit planets where people were living simply with just, like, rough-hewn clothes,
violate the Prime Directive and all of that, yeah.
Right, you know, and that's what made me start to think about like small craft colonies and like a little Luddite, because something's going to have to happen. We're going to have like a flat wage or, there's going to have to be some kind of give here coming soon, like within the next 20 years, because we're going to continue to lose jobs to technology, and you can't stop technology. I mean, this is a capitalist society. You know, people don't want to pay health benefits and get the machine into it. That's just the way we are. So, you know, this is not really science fiction. This is more like philosophy and science and ethics and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a lot of scary stuff involved with everything that you just said, namely... that the potential always exists for a big die-off. And this planet is vastly overpopulated. It is well past its carrying capacity, and we're having to do outrageous things with fuel and hydrocarbons and just to keep people who are lucky enough to get food fed. You know, we produce enough food to feed the entire planet. So we've produced enough food on this planet so that no one need be hungry. But because of capitalism, we just kind of say, you know, some people are going to starve to death. But with climate change, the number of people who are going to starve to death, you know, it may go up. Not saying, just saying. Hey, Todd, I got to get out of here, man.
Thanks. I really enjoyed it. I've got my mind is going all kinds of places now. I'm thinking all kinds of things. Thank you, Bob.
That's the purpose of the program, my friend.
Yeah, you're great. You're great. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Take care of yourself, and next time you're down at Trader Joe's, you know, look around and see what's going to happen for Easter.
I'll be on it.
All right. Later, man.
Peace.
And that's our buddy Todd, and that's the end of the program. I've run over time, but I think I still owed some time from last week. But we're catching up. Thank you to all of you in the chat room for popping by. Listen, there's a problem with the chat room certificate. You need to make an exception for it. Add-on certificate has expired, and apparently they're not much interested in doing anything about it. Just make an exception for it, and don't be afraid if you see the warning. It's not, you know, the chat room's fine. Thanks to all of you who share in your precious finite time engaged in this little conversation. I now get to think of one more person. I get to think of Felicia out there on the treadmill laughing at the Star Trek references. Thank you, Felicia. I like having those images of what people are doing while the program's going on. I like thinking of all the meals I ruin every year about this time. Thank you to those of you who keep the program going. Thanks to our subscribers for helping to create a week of fundraising-free radio. Thank you very kindly. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox, working on HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and the rebuild. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa with HeadOn.live. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all. Later.